Thank you, Mike. If you've marked your songbooks, if you would please take a Bible and turn to Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy chapter 28. You will remember that in the Lord's dealings with the nation of Israel, as He had given laws to them and established a covenant with them, He had promised them that in their obedience they would be blessed, not only spiritually, but materially. And in their disobedience, they would face the threat of being overcome by enemies. In fact, they were promised that certain things materially would not flourish for them. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, I'd like us to notice a statement in verses 47 through 50 that I want to call to our attention as we begin our lesson this morning. Because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and gladness of heart for the abundance of everything, therefore you shall serve your enemies, whom the Lord will send against you in hunger, in thirst, in nakedness, and in need of everything. And He will put a yoke on you, on your neck, until He has destroyed you. The Lord will bring a nation against you from afar, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flies, a nation whose language you will not understand, a nation of fierce countenance. I want you to notice this statement, which does not respect the elderly, nor show favor to the young, and they shall eat the increase of your livestock and the produce of your land until you are destroyed. They shall not leave you grain or new wine or oil or the increase of your cattle or the offspring of your flocks until they have destroyed you. Now, I emphasized a statement there that I want us to think about a little bit. Here, as the Lord describes this fierce nation, a nation that does not show its love and worship of God, but a nation that will actually be used by God as an instrument of punishment for the Israelites, notice something that it mentions there, that they will not demonstrate respect for the elderly. It is almost as if that is something that ought to be clearly understood to be an element of what it means to serve God, what it means to live as one ought to. Over in 1 Peter chapter 2, I'd like you to notice with me in 1 Peter chapter 2, let's look at something that is said in 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 17, and we'll just look at two verses, 17 and 18. Notice, honor all people. Love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. In our first reading there in Deuteronomy, the term respect was used. That often reflects wording in either the Hebrew or Greek that pertains to the idea of fearing something or fearing someone. We'll see in this passage that we looked at there in verse 17, as we use it in English, that idea of respect often carries with it not simply the idea of fear, but also the idea of honoring others is a way of demonstrating, as we would use it in English, a type of respect. You know, the Bible makes it very clear that respect is something that those who are children of God demonstrate. First of all, we must understand that we are to respect God. We are to hold Him in fear. We are to hold Him with honor. Over in Acts chapter 10 and verse 34 and 35, we notice the conclusion that is drawn there, where it is stated that this is just something that God expects people to do. Acts chapter 10, notice with me verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality." Listen to verse 35. "But in every nation, whoever fears Him and works righteousness is accepted by Him." When we recognize the great power of God, when we recognize that He is a being that can speak the universe into existence, it only follows that we should hold Him in great respect and reverence. Over in the book of Isaiah, near the end of the book, in Isaiah, look with me if you would, in chapter 66, and right near the beginning, Isaiah chapter 66, verse 1 and 2. The text says, "Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you will build for me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things my hand has made, and all those things exist, says the Lord. But on this one will I look," notice this, "on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit, and who trembles at my word." We see there that to demonstrate respect for God is to demonstrate respect for his word. But we recognize that throughout God's interaction with man, throughout the instructions that he gives, there are others that we are to show respect towards as well. The text that we looked at there in 1 Peter chapter 2, you remember it said that we are to honor the king. I want us to understand that that is something that God teaches us. The familiar passage in Romans chapter 13, notice with me in Romans chapter 13 and in verse 1, the text tells us there, "Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God." I might not always agree with what some political authority or some authority in school does or says, but I must show them respect. I must show them the kind of respect that they are due because of the position that they hold. It is true within the Lord's church as well. Those men that are set over local congregations to serve them and to lead them. The Hebrew writer will tell us in Hebrews chapter 13 that we are to show them respect as well. Notice with me two passages there in Hebrews chapter 13. The first uses a little bit different term, but verse 7 says, "Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct." Skip down, if you would, now to verse 17 in the same chapter. And you'll notice the way it's put there. "Obey those who rule over you, and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you." That's simply a way of saying that we treat them with respect. We recognize the tough work that they do. They watch for our souls, and we are to be submissive. We are to remember them. We are to obey them, and don't make it something that is hard for them. Don't make it something that is a grief. And you notice there at the end of that reading, if we were to do so, that makes it unprofitable for us. But not only are we to respect those who are elders within the church, we are to respect those who are elder in age. Over in 1 Peter chapter 5, it is interesting there because after first talking about elders within a local church, then a shift is made not simply to those that are appointed to that position. But verse 5 in 1 Peter chapter 5 will say, "Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble." The text that we began with in Deuteronomy, there where it talked about that wicked nation that would come to punish the Israelites, you'll remember, this is something that it pointed out specifically that they don't demonstrate. They don't demonstrate respect for those that are elderly. This was so important. If you look with me in Leviticus chapter 19, this was an ordinance that was written into the law of Moses. Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 32. Notice the importance that God places upon our attitude of respect towards those that are older than us, that have lived longer than us. Notice verse 32 of Leviticus chapter 19 says, "You shall rise before the gray-headed and honor the presence of an old man, and fear your God. I am the Lord." I wonder if our culture has lost some of that. You know, far too often we have a tendency to think, oh, you know, they don't understand technology. Oh, they're not up to date with the trends and things such as that. The Bible teaches us that doesn't matter. There are things that those who've lived longer than we have experienced that we should honor, that we should respect, and we should treat them such. And in fact, I think we can draw from that statement we looked at in Deuteronomy, if we don't do that, who are we behaving like? We are behaving like the ungodly. We are behaving like a fierce and ungodly nation. Within the home, we understand how important respect is. Children, you're not going to always agree with your parents. It won't always be that you like every decision that they make. Certainly those times when they must make decisions to punish you because of your behavior or to discipline you in some way, you're not going to enjoy that. But I want you to understand that they do that for your good. I'd like us to notice what the Hebrew writer tells us in Hebrews chapter 12 and in verse 9. And the context is talking about that sense in which God actually allows us to go through difficulties as a way in which we are trained and we are shaped by those things. And he draws an illustration from the fact that we have human parents that correct us. And I want you to notice what is said in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 9. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and notice, we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? Children, you should respect your parents because they love you and they have sacrificed for you. They have served you. And I recognize that there are circumstances in which maybe you've not had godly parents. Maybe your parents have behaved in ways that they ought not to. In the same way that we notice there in Romans chapter 13, I ought to submit to the authority, whether I agree with everything the authority does or not. I respect them because of their position. You need to respect your parents because of that position that they hold within the home. And respect what they've tried to do for you. They gave you life. They sustain your life to this point. And you owe them respect for that. Go with me over to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And you'll see here that term, as I mentioned earlier, you know, we will use that term respect, not simply of the idea of holding one in reverence or in fear, but we see as well that it can be that idea of honoring. And here we'll read in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2, it says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. This is a command from God. If you children are disrespectful to your parents, you are violating what God has said. You are not doing what the Lord wants you to do in that behavior and that attitude. The Bible teaches as well that within the marriage relationship, we see that wives are to respect husbands. Husbands are to honor wives. If you look with me to the previous chapter from where we are right now, in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 33, after talking about the issues of headship and submission, notice the passage ends by saying, nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Ladies, we live in an age in which it has become politically correct to mock and to make fun of most men. Now, I recognize that often men in their behavior and their lack of self-control and their behavior and their lack of godliness have not behaved themselves in a manner that is respectful. But don't fall prey to that tendency within our culture to just simply treat men with disrespect. Because often that becomes kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy. You treat your husband as if he's not worthy of your respect. He's a dunce and he always makes the wrong decisions. You know what? He may very well just begin to act that way. But the way that the Bible teaches it is much different. A wife should hold her husband in respect. Is it because he's always going to do the right thing? He'll always make the perfect choice in every circumstance? No, but he has been placed in a position of headship within the home. And in the same way that children respect their parents, in the same way that we noticed at the beginning, servants are to respect their masters, we notice that in the same way that we are to respect authorities that are over us, even if we don't always agree with what they do, the same is true within the home. Now, lest we imagine that this is something that is exclusively one-sided, go with me to 1 Peter chapter 3 and notice we can have the same problem if we have an attitude that says, well, you know, a wife is to submit to her husband, a husband is the head of the home, So that husband imagines that he can just treat his wife with disrespect. He can mock her. He can treat her as if she doesn't know what she's doing. I want you to notice the biblical picture that is painted in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them understanding. Listen to this. Giving honor to the wife as to a weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. Now, I recognize there's a difference here in the wording that's used in Ephesians 5. There, once again, it's more that idea of fear, not fear of abuse, but certainly a respect for the position. Here, it's more that sense of honor, the same way we notice that children are to honor their parents. We are to honor the king. But I want us to understand, if I honor something, I'm not going to mock and make fun of it. If I honor something, I'm not going to treat it with disrespect. If I honor something, I'm not going to refuse to listen to the opinions of my wife. Instead, I will treat her as special. I will honor her in that way. As we've looked briefly here at these different relationships and different ways in which we are to show respect, I want us to see that the Bible teaches that respect for God is something that when it's properly demonstrated must lead us to respect others. Go back to that passage that we looked at a moment ago in 1 Peter chapter 2 and in verse 17. We started with this because it's pretty broad. It's pretty all-encompassing, isn't it? Because notice there it says, honor all people. Love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. As we think about that, if I demonstrate an attitude that is disrespectful to others, what am I doing? I'm really showing disrespect for God. And let's kind of notice a few things related to this. Go to Ephesians once again, to Ephesians chapter 5. And we noticed in the context there of Ephesians chapter 5, we looked at things related to the husband and the wife. We looked at things in chapter 6 related to children. And I want you to notice that even before those passages, in Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 17, notice, therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. Now notice, he's talking here about general aspects of behavior. What does it mean if you're going to live as a Christian? What does it mean if you are going to serve the Lord? Verse 20, giving thanks always for all things in God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to this. Submitting to one another. Why? Or how? In the fear of God. If I respect God, how can it ever be that I am disrespectful to those whom God has created? How can it ever be that I am disrespectful to His children? One final passage, Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, a text that we go to quite often. Philippians chapter 2, and let's look beginning in verse 3. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, the text goes on to talk about what Jesus gave up for us, how he was willing, in spite of the fact that he's God in the flesh, to humble himself and take the form of a servant. Could we speak of that as deity showing respect for others? Well, maybe that's not the best way to describe it. But he certainly demonstrated a willingness to show consideration for others. And that is offered as an example for the way in which we are to not just look out for our own interests. We are not to approach things with selfishness, but instead we are to consider others. I think we can see from these passages that those who respect God will hold others in respect as well. And in fact, to show disrespect for others, we can see, as we notice there in the text, there in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 17. We honor all people. We fear God. There's a relationship. When we show disrespect for others, we are showing disrespect for God. You're here this morning, you've never been obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ. The best way in your life that you can show your respect and reverence for God is by obeying His Word. He has loved us to such an extent, as we could have read further in Philippians chapter 2, He gave Himself for us. He came to this world, though we did not deserve it, and He demonstrated His love by offering Himself as a sacrifice for our sins. Do you believe in that? Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Do you have the courage to confess that before men? Are you going to linger in sin that separates you from God? Or will you commit yourself to repent and turn away from that sin? If so, why not this morning make the decision to be baptized into Christ as a symbolic burial with Christ for the remission of sins? Something by which the book of Galatians teaches us, by which we put on Christ. If we can help you with that, we'd be delighted to do so. If as a child of God, I don't know if it's the issue of respect for God or the issue of respect for others, but maybe your heart has been touched this morning to recognize I'm not serving God as I ought to. And you have that opportunity. As brothers and sisters in Christ, we can come to one another and say, I need to change. I need to correct my behavior. Will you pray to God on my behalf? And we would be delighted to do so. We can help you. Won't you come? While we stand and sing.
What will you do with Jesus? The question comes.